ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Jack McLennan was 27, fit and visibly strong.
He was trained well. He knew how to hit, and I was gobsmacked.
He seemed ready for anything, but then he suddenly vanished.
I was just talking to him last night. Like, how the hell does that happen?
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
They call them the apex predators of the sea.
But the subs we're getting from the US as part of AUKUS will now all be secondhand.
So, are we being sold a lemon?
Is it time to ditch the deal and go our own way? I'm Geraldine Doog.
I'm Hamish McDonald. This is Global Roaming. Well, on this episode, we're widening out the discussion around AUKUS because the debate that we haven't had about AUKUS seems to be happening right now. And in many ways, the conversation that we had in the previous episode with Scott Morrison was a reminder of how contested so much of this territory is. And look, we've had lots of feedback on the conversation with the former Prime Minister, the architect of AUKUS from Australia's perspective. Faye Woodhouse writes from Melbourne, Geraldine, Hamish, well done for trying to get a straight answer out of Morrison. Your comments after the interview were conspicuous by their absence. I'd love to know what you thought about the interview. I should say it wasn't deliberate. We just ran out of time.
We did. We did indeed. He said what I thought he'd say, which is that he believes that it's a profoundly important deal and he's not going to back down on anything. And he thinks that anybody who thinks that way is sort of someone who enjoys pessimism is what I'd put it. I mean, he just doesn't see any, he completely trusts the Americans, I suppose, it's fair to say. You know, his consultancy with Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, is quite involved in a range of American companies. I think that's almost a way he fundamentally does trust the Americans to deal with as well.
And that was borne out in this fairly testy exchange.
Would appear
and what does Australia
arrangements.
Get?
Well, I think we could spend our money better.
How would it produce a better security outcome from Australia in the Indo-Pacific theatre?
Oh, I think there's lots of thoughts about that. Oh, drone, much more uncrewed vessels.
So a drone is a substitute for a nuclear-powered submarine?
Possibly for where we are. Well, we had Peter Varghese on here.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with Peter.
Okay, well, he had a very strong view that forward defence is out the window now. That is not where we need to be. And he argues the case, as you know, he's not the usual suspect either, I don't think, Scott.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but AUKUS Plus is what we've always argued, not AUKUS instead.
So, if you missed the episode, do go and find it. By the way, it is in your podcast feed. But I guess that goes to one of the core questions around AUKUS is that if you're not going to do this, what are you going to do? And I think that's still very much the live question,
It's a good question.
Even those that are anti-AUKUS are not necessarily all agreed or aligned on what the alternative pathway would be.
Quite right. And that's exactly, that's ridden right through that business. Can we defend ourselves? That's the essence of it.
And what's interesting, I think, about this moment in the whole AUKUS lifetime is that this argument and the questions are playing out in different spaces. So, of course, the weekend kicked this all off at the Shangri-La Dialogue in Singapore. Pete Hegseth, Richard Marles there with the UK Defence Secretary. They announced these changes. Australia will get three used Virginia-class submarines built by the US starting from 2032 instead of two used and one new. But then I want to play for you, Geraldine, something from Senate Estimates where David Shoebridge is asking questions of Jonathan Mead, who's the head of the submarine agency, about what the cost difference will be. Because remember, Richard Marles has said it would be cheaper.
I know what you want me to say. I know what you would say is the obvious comment. I'm not going to make
any
commentary prior to discussions that we have with the US.
What do you think I want you to say? What do you think I want you to say?
I think you would say that they would obviously be cheaper because they've got 10 years of life already used on them.
Well, I mean, that is kind of what the Defence Minister has said.
You know, what strikes me in all of this, I've been thinking about it, is that you know, transparency is the greatest balm. There is so much we don't know. Now, we don't know a lot about defence contracts generally. You know, they're fiercely difficult to report to and to understand. But I think it's building to a point where it would behoove the authorities to be as transparent as they could possibly be, even with their confusions.
Well, do you think that's what Richard Marles was doing in this particular clip from 7:30?
I can't go into the specifics of that because some of this is important to exist in the classified realm is the answer to that. And we're not wanting to flag every detail.
That's on the timeline of what's left in the lifespan of these submarines, the used ones that we would get. He won't say how many years into their life or how many they have left.
Look, I really sighed when I watched that interview, and he finally, you know, David Spears was pushing him totally legitimately, I thought, and he eventually, I think two or three times, reverted to this is classified. Now, look, maybe it is, but gee whiz, I'm really trying to understand it, you know, so that I can work out myself whether we are doing well. I don't think they're all knaves. I'm trying to work it out, and I don't think that he's helping me.
Well, we've brought together two people with very different views on AUKUS and the rollout of this whole program. Peter Briggs is a retired admiral and submarine specialist, a past president of the Submarine Institute of Australia. He's been raising a lot of questions about the specifics. He's really big on the detail of this. Jennifer Parker is the principal and founder of Barrier Strategic Advisory, having served for over two decades in the Royal Australian Navy as a warfare officer. She's making the case for AUKUS. Here they are now. Jen Parker, Peter Briggs, welcome to Global Roaming.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Nice to be here.
Jen, can I start with you? The difference between the submarines that we thought we were getting and that we are getting. Help people understand, please, because I think there is so much confusion here.
There is so much confusion, and thanks so much for asking the question. So, look, in 2023, the Pacific Fleet Commander came to Australia, and he said at that time that we would expect to get two Block 4 Virginias, which are 125-metre boats. They're 8,000 tonnes. They don't have the Virginia payload model, which is everybody's been talking about, which is the additional land strike capability that will give them 40 missiles. The third boat, he said, was going to be a Block 7. Now, what the US Block 7 Virginia actually entails, when I say block, I really mean version, right? They're building different versions of it. What that actually entails isn't clear because the US haven't really put out a design for that. But he did say at the time that it wouldn't have that extra strike capability. So is this a significant change? To be honest, I would argue not really, with the exception, though, of the boat will last for a lesser period of time. And I know that you discussed that on your show yesterday with Scott Morrison.
I have heard Rex Patrick talking about this over the past 24 hours, former submariner, former politician. And he says that the Block 7 Virginia class, the new one we were going to get, would be a bit like getting the new model of the car that hasn't yet been released. And in this instance, it would be able to deploy drone subs, as far as he's aware, and that these Block 4 used versions that we're getting can't. That would be a pretty significant difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good question and point to highlight. So the US have actually tested deploying uncrewed underwater vehicles, UUVs or drones, with their Virginia class, so they can currently do that. The UK recently tested one of our drones, Speartooth, operating with their nuclear-powered submarine off the West Coast. So I don't think it's correct to say that the Virginia class can't deploy drones. We know they can. We don't know which ones they are. Would one that had been built in 2038 deploy more? Maybe. The design for that vessel isn't actually available. So we're really hypothesising on that.
I can see Peter Briggs shaking his head during some of what you're saying. So I'm curious about what that is in relation to.
Okay, the optimum pathway, so-called, set out the Block 4, Block 7 combination, not the Pacific Fleet Commander. There's no mention of what block we're now going to get. And it's my argument, as I've written about, that we're not being offered Block 4s, we're being offered Block 3s, because the US has only ordered 10 Block 4s. They're in current production, two still to be delivered. They are the crown jewels as far as the US Navy is concerned. It's their frontline submarine. Block 3 is an earlier version. Its remaining reactor hours depends totally on how the submarine's been operated. But we do know that the US Navy has been operating at a high tempo, Caribbean one day and the Middle East the next. So we can expect that they will be well used. The remaining reactor hours are well known. They're carefully monitored. When they run out, the submarine is decommissioned. This reactor cannot be refueled. So when you buy the particular submarine, you have a finite life. That's the stopgap waiting for a new UK-designed large guided missile submarine. If that is delayed, which is highly likely, then we face the reality of a gap.
Jen, you seem a bit sceptical about that.
Oh, not sceptical. And there's breakthrough on here with retired Admiral Peter Briggs. He knows a lot about submarines, and that's a real honour. But I would just highlight that, actually, Richard Miles, the Defence Minister, said on 7:30 report that it is Block 4. Also, the Pacific Fleet Commander did say in 2023 Block 4, the optimal pathway outlined by the Australian Submarine Agency doesn't actually detail which block. So we do know that that is what the US is intending at this stage.
Look, this is quite confusing in some ways, because I heard Joe Hockey, who is the former ambassador to the US, say on the radio it was coming true what he had predicted, that the Americans would honour the deal, but the way they wanted to honour it, and they wouldn't be new subs. So, I mean, Jennifer, in a way, he said it's exactly what I predicted. Is Peter's point, I mean, are they going to give up their crown jewels? You say that we know we're getting these Block 4s, do you?
Yeah, look, I mean, crown jewels, I tend to avoid kind of dramatic language in these conversations. Look, I personally don't know exactly what we're getting, neither does Peter. I know that the Defence Minister did say Block 4. I know that the Pacific Fleet Commander did say Block 4. Block 4 is what they're building now. They've been building that since 2020. By the time we get the first one in 2032, that probably makes sense. They've started building them in 2020. By 2032, they'll have built a number of Block 4s. Even if we got the first one they ever built, which is unlikely, that would be 12 years old.
So, Peter, are you surprised that we can't get more clarity on this? Because I also watched the Richard Miles interview, and he said things couldn't be said because they were in classified territory. Now, were you surprised to hear the minister say that there was quite a lot of detail he couldn't provide because it was in the classified territory?
Well, I don't think there's too much classified about which block is going to be provided, but I can understand it to be uncomfortable for the minister and for the US at this point to have to deal with the Block 3 versus Block 4 argument. The logic, I think, is convincing. It will not be the current production run. The other difference in the apart from the age and the reactor remaining life, Block 3 is designed to have four major refits in the course of its 33 years. In moving to Block 4, the US made a significant design change so that the submarine only requires three. Sounds trivial, but that's a two and a half year docking that the Block 4 does not need. You get those 2.5 years in operation as opposed to sitting in a dry dock. I think it's a very significant question, and I'm afraid you won't get an answer because the US Navy doesn't have to give you one until 2031. And by then it will be a different admiral in Hawaii, and it'll be a different president that makes the final call.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I understood Richard Miles to be referring to the lifespan remaining on these submarines in relation to what was classified.
It was.
It wasn't whether it was a Block 3 or a Block 4. I thought he was not giving a timeline as to how far into their life cycle they would be. And yet Jonathan Mead, the head of the Submarine Agency, in questioning at Senate Estimates to David Shoebridge, seemed to be indicating that they'd be about a decade into service, which, as far as I understand, aligns with the 12-year service timeline for these vessels. So is there actually more that we know about this than what Richard Miles is acknowledging?
No, the reactor hours remaining will be different for each submarine, as I said. It depends on how hard they've been run. And it is indeed a sensitive topic, because once you know that, you can predict when that submarine's going to have to decommission. I think there's a more fundamental point that the US Navy, the US is not building enough Virginias. And it's my contention that when the decision has to be made in 2031, we're not going to get any Virginias. There will be none to spare.
You're listening to Global Roaming from ABC Radio National with Hamish and Geraldine. On this episode, we're exploring what on earth these changes to AUKUS mean. Our guests, Peter Briggs, a retired specialist and past president of the Submarine Institute of Australia, and Jennifer Parker, principal and founder of Barrier Strategic Advisory. She served for over two decades in the Royal Australian Navy.
Where does this leave us, Jennifer? Clearly, you know, you still... I can hear your... You know, you're being careful in what you say, but you clearly are completely committed to the worth of this project, are you? Even though it's just, it's a contract that doesn't feel like a contract, if you know what I mean. If one's normal understandings of contract being that you know where you are, you know where you stand, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point, a fair question. Look, am I completely committed? No. I think that this is an important discussion. And I think I've said publicly many times that if I was the Chief of Navy, which I'm not, who knows, maybe one day, I joke, or the Prime Minister, maybe one day, look, I probably wouldn't have selected this as the plan. And the reason I wouldn't have actually is more about, are you unbalancing the Navy and focusing too much on submarines? So that would have been my thing. But I do think where we are right now, it becomes a really emotive discussion. And this is why I try and avoid emotional language. My wife gets to hear what I think about AUKUS emotionally and just try and anchor it in the facts. And so do I think that we are going to get this capability right now based on the progress that I've seen nearly 5 years down the track? I honestly do.
Jen, can I ask a question, though, about what taxpayers are entitled to know and understand about spending maybe $368 billion of their money? Like, normally with government procurement, with contracts, you know what you're getting, exactly how much it's going to cost, what the timeline is for delivery. And actually, in talking to Scott Morrison on the previous episode, it reminded me of some of the arguments we heard about the cancellation for the French subs. Part of it was that they were not meeting their timelines, that there were delays, that the French weren't going to be able to keep up their end of the bargain, and that was an argument for cancelling the deal. Don't taxpayers, the very people listening to this episode, have a right to be a bit angry at this point about the lack of insight we the people funding it, have of this program?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good point. I think a lot of it has not been explained very well. And I think I've been on the public record saying I think that, you know, defence should have a defence spokesperson that gets out and has a conversation about this. I think there should be a better strategic communications plan, because it feels like, you know, if you don't listen to estimates, and most Australians don't listen to estimates, you're not going to get the details. So I do agree with you. I think even on the cost one, you know, that's one that's often been misrepresented publicly. And I think the government would benefit from what is the cost per phase. So phase one, phase two, phase three. For example, the French submarines, right? You'll often hear people say, well, the French submarines were $90 billion for 12 submarines and AUKUS is $368 billion. And most people believe that. That's not actually true. So the French submarines last quoted in Senate estimates was on the 26th of October 2020. I did read that Senate estimates. It was $90 billion for acquisition, $145 billion for sustainment, $235 billion over a 50-year period, and that didn't have infrastructure or contingency costs. The AUKUS figure is $368 billion over a 31-year period. $120 billion of that is contingency. Contingency, for those listening, is kind of like, it may need to have a contingency call. It's kind of a fudge factor. Normally, a defence project has 5 to 10% contingency. What I'm saying there is it more expensive? 100%, yes, it's more expensive. Is it in the orders of magnitude more expensive that's represented in the public? No. Over the next 10 years, it's about 8% of the defence budget. Those things should be explained clearly. They're not, and I think that's a bit of an own goal.
Can we get back to the point? The US is nowhere near building enough submarines, even if you bring it down to 55. The last Virginia accepted, delivered, Massachusetts, took 9 years to build in Newport News Shipyard. In Newport News Shipyard, Virginia is a third priority. First comes Columbia, second comes nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, third comes Virginia. The company's quarterly reports, they report moving people off the Virginia build line to get Columbia up to speed. Electric Boat is similar. The first priority is Columbia. The second is Virginia. They're nowhere near the build tempo. They've moved into block fives and they're followed by block six, which require 30% more man hours to construct. The Columbia is huge, 21,000 tonnes. What we're asking that workforce to do is achieve in getting to two Virginias, one Columbia, and not to count the aircraft carriers, is a fourfold increase. It is not going to happen.
And the meaning for us? The meaning for us? The implications for us?
The implications for us is that in 2031, either we get a mate's call and they sell us some submarines, three submarines, or more likely, the president of the day and the CNO of the day, who are all going to be different, will say, I'm sorry, but we don't have any to spare. Even though our numbers, we're shooting for 455, they're at 48 now. They're sustaining their numbers by extending seven old Los Angeles class. That's just come down to six because one of them was unworkable on. That extension is taking twice as long. They've only managed to extend one. There are still five more to come. The non-extended Los Angeles are retiring at two a year. You know, the mathematics is remorseless. They're at 48 combined Virginia and Los Angeles at the moment. And on my headcount, by 2031, when the decision's got to be made, they'll be down to 41.
So, Peter, I want to ask you this then. If you were doing a risk analysis, because I think this is where you're leading to, if you were in Australia, what would you do next? Because, I mean, you know, well, you're painting the idea that...
It's very late in the day. You know, we've been arguing the issues for some time since the plan was first announced. I think it's unlikely there'll be any Virginias to act as a stopgap. I think the design we're waiting for will be late, over budget, and have problems. It's a first of class. I doubt that the Brits will get one to see and debugged in time for us. We are being squeezed. Yes, I think we're being squeezed between the real problems that the US is having in building submarines and the highly likely delay of the SSN AUKUS, the design coming from the UK. We have a trifecta, a life of type extension, which has got a finite and is going to undoubtedly also run into problems. A lack of a stopgap and a delay in what is meant to be the long term. The long term is still highly impractical. A combination of Virginias of whatever block, a UK submarine, one is metric, one is imperial, and the life of type extension that's going to stress everything. I think it's a flawed plan.
Jen Parker, that makes it sound like we're pretty screwed.
It does. It's depressing. In fact, I want to go to the bar. A couple of points that I would offer very, very quickly. One, we have always operated a combination of US and UK ships. So whether it's metric or imperial, we can work that out. We're experienced at that. In terms of all that doom and gloom, look, I agree with Peter, there is risk, right? But it's a question of, are we managing the risk? And we often don't talk about, what have we actually achieved in 5 years? Which I'm not going to bore you all because I know we need to bring this podcast to an end, but that's actually a lot. Is the US submarine industrial base a problem? Yes. Is their capability picking up? Yes. Is that catastrophic to AUKUS? It's honestly not. And in terms of the Virginias, they're aimed as a stopgap. What is the output of AUKUS? It's about allowing us to operate nuclear-powered submarines and having our own submarine industrial base. And look, this will not all go to plan. I mean, Saturday's announcement will not be the first change to this 30-year plan. I think that we need to kind of understand those changes. They absolutely need to be better communicated. I agree with you on that. But just be a little bit, circumspect about what they actually mean. And a question I would put to everybody who says this is all going to fall over, what do we do? The question is, what do we do in place? And there's a lot of options that are put out. You know, Peter, I know you've mentioned the French submarine. I know that members of Naval Group have said they couldn't do it for us. French are averaging 10 years per build of their submarines. Submarines are hard to build. Are drones going to solve the problem? Look, they're definitely going to help. And I know you discussed that with Scott Morrison in your podcast. But they're not going to fulfill the role of a submarine that needs to go away for months at a time. There's nobody on that to maintain those missiles and torpedoes. So I just think that, yes, is there risk? The question is, are we mitigating it? What are the other options? There's not a lot of great ones.
Well, Jennifer, in terms of people starting, I think average people are starting to think, well, what are our options? We got this really interesting suggestion from one of our listeners, Martin Taper, about the Japanese state-of-the-art submarine, that the Tagai, I think it is, Tagai class, the build rate is one per year, half the crewing of an AUKUS vessel, about $18 million each. AUKUS 26 estimated cost of $368 billion and rising, a fleet of 12 Tagai for less than one-thirtieth the current cost of AUKUS. Now, people will start doing this, you know? How do you answer them?
Japanese is not the answer, is how you answer them. Japanese submarine is built for a very different requirement, and that's rather specialised things, submarines. We had a look at the Japanese submarine in the competitive evaluation process, so we know a bit about it. And similarly with the Korean submarine, which people sort of latch onto. They're building one a year because they order them 3 or 4 years before. So it's not a case that they start on day one and have it finished in 1 year. It takes much longer than that to build. But they have a regular program of with two shipyards building them.
I think you think we should go back to the French, don't you? Sorry to interrupt.
Absolutely. I can't understand why we made the decision we did.
Peter Briggs, Jen Parker, thank you very much, both of you. I know you could probably talk about it all day. We'll get you back another time to continue this conversation.
Thanks so much.
Well, there's a lot of detail there about military procurement, yes. Geraldine, which makes some people's eyes water. But sort of weirdly, we are now in the space as a nation of having a discussion about the differences between, phase four and phase seven of a Virginia-class nuclear-powered submarine.
Three. Block four, block three or block seven, I mean, really. And, you know, when you look at what emerged last week, I think, in the papers that ASPI, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, putting out their discussion about our defence force, that actually the primary problem we face is its workforce.
Jason has written to us. I thought I'd share this with you because it is a different perspective. He says, Geraldine Hamish, checking in from Scotland, moved to contact you as I listened to Scott Morrison defending the absolute shit show. He says, brackets, feel free to choose another term. That is the AUKUS subs. As Geraldine said, you don't buy a new one and accept a second-hand one on a personal deal. As a country, you've been taken for a ride, folks. As a UK taxpayer, AUKUS subs look like a waste of cash from here too. And lashing ourselves yet further to an increasingly unreliable ally with the UK economy, seemingly in a death spiral, sucking yet more out of the exchequer. So Treasuries, that's the name they give to it there. That's from Jason in Scotland. So really interesting to hear that different perspective. And I would say, Geraldine, to listeners wanting to get in touch, obviously, we're going to keep coming back to AUKUS, but if there are particular angles or new areas of this that you do want us to explore, we're happy to receive the questions and the pointers as well. So global.roaming@abc.net.au is the email address.
And we are trying to be constructive, I think I would say, Tamish. No, honestly, I don't want to be just a pessimist about it.
I'm not sure if Scott Morrison would give you that review.
He may not, but we might have him back on at some point and I'll disabuse him of that concern. But no, I think it's a time for us to understand more and to be useful citizens. And that's all I think a lot of us are asking.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.